This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Yes, it is. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guest appear on the Goodyear Hotline. I'm Matt Jones. Braden Gall is with me as we fill in on this post-Thanksgiving Friday. Everybody's out shopping, getting all the deals all across this wonderful nation of ours, and we are here trying to entertain you and get you ready for the weekend's games.
Is that your thing?
What, shopping?
Yeah, you done it. You a shopper? No. on Black Friday?
You couldn't pay me to go to a store today with all those people running around and hitting each other, and like, there's no object worth getting in a fight over.
Plus, you got a game. You got a pregame for the big.
We got two A
state championship.
We got Middlesbrough LCA, and we got Kentucky versus North Florida tonight. All the big games. Don't you worry about it.
My wife and I and two daughters, we do the Christmas tree purchase and install on Black Friday every year after Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is still the best day of the year. You've said it before. This is the best weekend for football the entire calendar year. I refuse to let my wife and children, God bless them, I love them, of course, take over Thanksgiving. I at least get Thanksgiving before they decide to put the Christmas tree up.
Well, that's very nice of you to allow your wife to put up the Christmas tree.
Oh, I'm sure she really appreciates it.
No, I
carry the thing.
You can tune into a football doubleheader Sunday as the Bengals host the Steelers, followed by the Chargers at the Broncos. Coverage begins at noon Eastern on select ESPN radio stations. But before we even get to that, it's a huge Saturday of football across the country. It's rivalry weekend. There are games that are all over the map. You got Bedlam, which means more this year than probably any year. You got the Governor's Cup here in Kentucky, North Carolina State, Washington State. But really, there's two games that stick out I think everybody's really focused on. Auburn, Alabama, and the Iron Bowl's big every single year. But this year, Ohio State, Michigan, Braden, is probably bigger than it's been since whatever the year was they were 1-2 and played in this game. And so now, for Michigan, though, they're at home, and this is a – if you want to convince America you're not the same old Michigan, this is the day to do it. Because this Ohio State team right now is playing as good as anybody in the country. Michigan has a shot to matter in a way that they have not mattered in a long time. Do you think they're going to be able to do it?
I think there's actually a chance here that Michigan could play well in this game. Now, I will be open and say, hey, I've got a couple of – shekels on Ohio State minus the 8, because I'm trying to will it into existence that it is a close game. The game you're talking about, of course, 05, 06 in there, when it was number 1 versus number 2 in 06, and that actually led to Ohio State going to the national championship game. But this game, if you'll remember, was very, very close just a couple of years ago. This was in Columbus, 30-27 in double overtime, when JT Barrett had to dive forward and got that first down by a quarter of an inch. This game has been close under Jim Harbaugh before, and they have the defensive line to disrupt C.J. Stroud, who's on an absolute tear right now, the quarterback for Ohio State. If Aiden Hutchinson and Ajabo can pressure the quarterback, the two defensive ends for Michigan, if they can disrupt the Ohio State offense, they have a chance in the game. Because this is – they're at, like you said, it's all laid out. They're at home. They've got the defense. They've got an offense that's better than people think with Cade McNamara at quarterback. All that matters is that front line for Michigan. If they get pressure and disrupt C.J. Stroud, they've got a chance. If not, they have no prayer. And just like every other year in the Big Ten, Ohio State uses superior athletic ability and speed to win a game against Michigan, clinch a division, and probably beat what probably will be Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, and probably get themselves into the playoff just like they do every other year.
I am sort of the opinion that I don't expect Michigan to win. I mean, Ohio State's going to win the game, so I'm just going ahead and saying that. But I do think if Michigan isn't competitive in this game, then I don't know that they're ever going to be competitive. I mean, I sort of wonder if Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, he's not going to be fired. But I just don't think he has the ability to beat Ohio State. I don't think they recruit. The big thing is the recruiting. That people don't realize the talent gap between Ohio State and every other team in the Big Ten. And while Ohio State can sometimes lose to teams with less talent, when they get to the Michigan game, they're always up for it. It's the end of the year. They're playing well. And if they can't keep this competitive this year at home, if you're a Michigan fan, why would you ever think it's going to be competitive? Well, it just won't as long as Ohio State does what they do.
I completely agree. And the one thing here is that that's not even a knock on Michigan per se.
No, that's it's a knock on Michigan.
No, it's but who else in the Big Ten has routinely, consistently beaten Ohio State year in and year
out? Nobody routinely beats them, but Braden, some people beat them occasionally, and Michigan never beats them. And, I mean, I think ultimately that's the issue.
James Franklin beat them one time, and he needed two blocked field goals to do it.
But a couple years ago, Indiana beat them. I mean, like random years, teams beat them, but Michigan never even gets their random year.
I hear what you're saying. Wisconsin beat them, I think, one time. like I'm not suggesting that a team doesn't beat them one time. Again, Penn State was a two-loss champion that almost got into the playoff in 2016 because, again, they beat Ohio State with two blocked field goals. Michigan State kicked a field goal. If you remember the Michigan State kicker running around the horseshoe, remember, like, just going crazy when he kicked that field goal? And they got into the playoff, and they got beat 38-0 by Alabama because Michigan State beat them one time on a last-second field goal. The Big Ten has an Ohio State problem, and Ohio State is just vastly superior across the board in athletic talent and ability and recruiting. And until Penn State and until Michigan, who also recruit pretty well, but they don't recruit at the same level as Ohio State. And until those teams recruit at a higher level, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Michigan State, it's going to be Ohio State almost every single season.
So let's go down south, Auburn and Alabama. Alabama is, depending on where you look at it, a 19 or 20-point favorite. Auburn has fallen off the map. I mean, after nearly winning at Penn State to start the season, they just lost to a South Carolina team that at points this year has barely even looked competent. And now they play Alabama, and most people assume, well, this will be an Alabama route. But I'm of the belief, Braden, this game will be close. The reason? It's always close. This game is never a route. And for whatever reason, I think part of it is these players, people have to understand the culture of the state of Alabama. These players all know each other. In the summers, they work out together. So they're not scared of each other. This is not like you walk on the field and say, there's Alabama. This is just, I know him. That's Bart. That's Sam. I'm not worried about him. And these games are always close, and I feel like this one will be too.
By the way, I think Auburn's won two straight at home against Alabama.
Yes.
So to speak to your point there, I do think Auburn has a chance because of Alabama's weaknesses. If you look at where Alabama has problems, their offensive line, their running game are not what it used to be. When they were using Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs as third down backs because they were so deep, well, now they only have one guy in Brian Robinson. The offensive line's not been very good. It is exclusively about Bryce Young. And Derek Mason, the former Vanderbilt head coach, who's now the defensive coordinator at Auburn, has done a really good job with that front seven and attacking people. They shut down Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. I think they're going to have a really good game plan to stop Alabama's run, make them a one-dimensional team. And if you do that, what you're then doing is saying, all right, Bryce Young beat us. And I actually think Bryce Young is undervalued this season across the country because he's playing behind what is one of the worst running games and offensive lines for Alabama. The problem is the other side of the ball. They don't have Bo Nix. Auburn doesn't have their starting quarterback. Can T.J. Finley generate enough offense against the Bama defense that sometimes has its problems? That's my question is, can Auburn score enough with Alabama? I think it's going to be a Bryce Young showcase tomorrow.
I think it's very easy to sit and look and go, okay, Alabama only has one loss. This is just like the last 10 years of Alabama teams. But as you said, it's not. They're not the same team. They don't run the ball as efficiently. And because of that, two of the three worst teams in the SEC, if you haven't followed SEC football extensively this year, Vandy's the worst team. But the 12th and 13th worst teams have been LSU and Florida. And guess what? Both of those teams took Alabama to the last play. Both of them. And so you can't say, Braden, that Auburn doesn't have a chance when an LSU and Florida team both had a shot. And in one case in the Florida game, maybe Florida should have even won.
Yeah, I think the only difference is the quarterback play for LSU and Florida, not the same thing as Bryce Young's ability, right? And that's that. And the same thing with Auburn, that they have quarterback deficiencies at those three schools. That's where Bryce Young has been the difference for Alabama. My issue is like the reason you heard Nick Saban go off on his fans this week on his coach's show, where he's telling everybody, "Why can't you guys appreciate us when you know basically love us more?" is what he's telling his fans. Is because he's. I think he's concerned. I think he knows that his team has some questions. Those questions have not been fixed relative to Alabama standards. And when they play Georgia in 2 weeks, we're going to find out that all those questions you just mentioned against LSU and Florida and the things that came up in the A&M loss, they're not fixed. And until if he can fix them in 2 weeks, God bless him, he's the greatest coach of all time already. But I think they're major – he's concerned about how his team is playing, and he should be because Auburn's a huge rival and Georgia's really, really good.
Yeah, it should be a great game. I'll tell you what, who's ready for that game, and that's Trevor Maddich. He's ESPN's college football analyst. He's the co-host of College Game Day, and he's going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear is with you for every mile on the road to greatness. It's Goodyear, more driven. Trevor, I'll start with this. If you're Michigan, you're sitting there and saying, if you're a Michigan fan, don't you believe if Michigan's ever going to really matter and have a shot at winning the Big Ten, they have to be competitive this week? They cannot get blown out.
You are absolutely right, Matt. And the thing about Michigan fans is that I think they are second only to Notre Dame fans as a group for having the most angst of any fan base in all of college football. So they will look for every reason on earth that the Wolverines will not win this game. And I think that this is the important one for the Wolverines to be competitive. Like you said, they don't have to win it necessarily, I think, from a perception standpoint. But they need to be competitive with Ohio State. They need to be right there with them toe-to-toe. And this team has the ability to do it if they play up to their capability. This is a completely different Michigan team than we've seen in other years under Harbaugh. And I think that's important because people keep going back to Harbaugh's record against Ohio State in the past. Well, this team isn't a reflection of anything that's happened in the past. So for Michigan fans, this is the year that they need to show that they're on the same tier as the Buckeyes.
I guess my question is, what tier are the Buckeyes on? Because we know where they are relative to the Big Ten. Historically, they're just always the most talented, most athletic, fastest, best program in the conference. They've been that way for 60 years, basically. Georgia's playing on one level. I'm not sure Alabama, I'm not sure Ohio State, there's so much parity in college football this year. Is there any other team that you've seen, including Ohio State's offense, that is on the same tier as Georgia right now, or even potentially on the same tier as Georgia?
Yes, Ohio State. You just mentioned it. Braden, and that's a good question. It's always good to kind of recheck ourselves, to reset what we think we know, because we kind of get into a pattern. And we thought we knew in September that Ohio State was overrated. Then all of a sudden their defense started to come together. They played a lot of young guys in September, and then they played a lot of even younger guys in place of injured young starters. And those guys busted a lot of assignments, had a lot of mental errors. Since then, they've really tightened up, and their defense is nowhere near the level of Georgia. But it is now potentially quite good, but the offense is unbelievable. If you start at the beginning, the offensive line, nobody in college football is going to dominate or have their way with the Georgia defensive front. But of all the offensive lines in college football, Ohio State has an ability to hold their own against those guys to allow the Buckeye skill people to work. Ohio State has the deepest group of wide receivers and most talented wide receivers in all of college football. At running back with Travion Henderson, they're as good as anybody in college football. And C.J. Stroud at quarterback has proven the ability not just to get the ball to those guys, but to get the ball to people under pressure. He gets a lot of yards, like against Michigan State, when you've got receivers running wide open because opposing defenses don't have enough guys to cover that much skill in that much depth. Okay, that's fine. But what interests me is not that. What interests me is how he can drop a dime when he's getting hit in the face by a pass rusher. And those kinds of plays under pressure. And he'll need that against this Michigan defense, because this will be the most capable defense that he has faced all season long so far. So when you compare this Buckeyes offense to Georgia, I think they have probably the best chance to move the ball and score against Georgia of any other offense in college football. We will know a lot more about them when we see how they perform against Michigan, because Michigan's defense is legitimately one of the best in the country as well.
Talking to Trevor Maddich, he is an ESPN college football analyst. Let me switch gears for a second and talk about some job openings. I think three of the seven or eight best jobs in the country are open at the same time, Florida, LSU, and USC. And that's a rarity to have this many elite jobs open at the same time. But what I find interesting is I look at the list of people that these programs may be getting. Florida, you're hearing Billy Napier is the guy from Louisiana. LSU has a group of guys on it. You know, I've seen Mark Stoops and the coach at Baylor, Matt Campbell. USC, you hear all kinds of names. The fan bases for all three of those schools would have probably thought that they could get bigger names than those. Does it surprise you that those are the list for the schools? And do you think any of them sort of has a rabbit in their hat still yet to pull?
The fan bases of those schools need to take a step back and not worry about whether or not they get a big name. What they need is a great coach. Tennessee was really upset about hiring Josh Heupel because they were, well, who's this guy? What has he ever done? We're Tennessee. Well, no, you haven't been Tennessee since the late 1990s.
Thank you.
All of a sudden, here comes your fourth or fifth choice, Heupel, and he has an offense that's setting records or close to setting records in Tennessee and attracting recruits like crazy, and he's a guy they didn't want. Tennessee, another example, when Greg Schiano had been hired to be their coach a couple of coaches ago now, I guess. It's been a while. The Tennessee fans found reasons that they didn't like him, and they put so much pressure on the administration that the offer was rescinded. Well, he's out there doing great things at Rutgers right now, and Tennessee stayed in the coaching wilderness until Heupel showed up, and we'll see if he can sustain it. But these are fan bases that get too excited about different criteria or certain names. It's just not right. And so I think when it comes to big-name coaches, you can get them if you want them. Those guys are all getting huge contract extensions to stay where they are, even if they're not a massive name. Mel Tucker at Michigan State just signed a $95 million extension, for goodness sake, so he wouldn't go to LSU. Okay, well, that's fine, you know. But when it comes to the smaller names, you've got some great coaches. And you mentioned Billy Napier at Louisiana. He has been marvelous at reestablishing a culture there and maximizing the talent that he's got on the roster, developing players, tremendous recruiter. Bill Clark at UAB, same way, establishing a culture, literally a startup after they dropped football for a couple of years, and then developing the talent. These are the kinds of guys you need in order to win, because there are very few schools that can just show up at a recruit's door and they'll come because it's you. Alabama is one of those schools, right? LSU recruits very well, but there's very few that can do that in this day and age. You need to be able to develop better than your competing coaches. And guys like that at some smaller schools that have proven that they can recruit at the highest level on their tier of schools and then turn those guys into very good football players is something that you can do with a higher level of recruit at a bigger place that's more attractive to higher talented recruits. And I think Matt Campbell at Iowa State, that's one of the reasons that his name comes up all the time, because he just can't get the level of recruit that other teams can get. But, man, he coaches those guys up and develops a culture to develop them into outstanding college and then eventually NFL players as well.
You mentioned Matt Campbell in the Big 12, and I'm not sure he's got the recruiting chops for – I think he's a great coach. I don't know if he's got the recruiting chops for any of those big jobs in the SEC, but I want to ask you about Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, the Bedlam series. Big 12 championship game bids are on the line for Oklahoma here. It's a great, great rivalry. Two top 10 teams. Oklahoma State could still sneak its way into the college football playoff, but it's supposed to be a very low-scoring game. I would expect it to be very low-scoring. What do you make of the change in philosophy? I don't know if it's happened on purpose in the Big 12, but if you look around this conference and you look at Kansas State and West Virginia and Matt Campbell at Iowa State, and you look at what some of these BYU and Cincinnati are going to join the league soon, it is migrating towards a defensive line of scrimmage league for the first time in I don't know when. Do you think this is the right thing for this league to do to stay relevant nationally as it loses Oklahoma and Texas, is to refocus on the defensive line?
Braden, I agree with you. I don't know that it's intentional. I don't think they all got together and said, hey, guys, let's now be tougher at the line of scrimmage. I think that it's happened naturally, and as other teams have done it, you've got to do it to keep up. But you mentioned the national relevance of it, right? It's the same kind of thing that Mario Cristobal is accomplishing up at Oregon. Oregon was known as kind of a finesse team. That wasn't really fair, but that's what they were known as. Cristobal wanted to build an SEC-style line-of-scrimmage team in the Pacific Northwest. I know they just got smashed by Utah. They've had some injury issues which have changed their potential for this season. But that is what he's trying to accomplish, and he's proven that he could do it. In the Big 12, in order for them to have the ability to compete nationally, because remember, Oregon went up to beat Ohio State in week two in Columbus with about five of their defensive starters out with injuries, including Kayvon Thibodeau, who will be a top five draft choice this year. They still were able to have enough depth and physicality to beat Ohio State in Columbus. So the Big 12, their bugaboo has always been they could score a lot of points. Just look at Oklahoma's recent experience in the playoffs. They played Georgia. They'd score 42 points and lose the game, right? And their defense wasn't good enough. They weren't strong enough at the line of scrimmage to compete with those teams. Go back a few years ago where there was a run where the NFC with Washington and the Giants and other teams in the NFC just pounded the AFC in the Super Bowl year after year after year. Well, there was that 1983 draft where all those great quarterbacks were drafted in the first round, most of them to the AFC, so they became passing teams, and that became a passing conference. Then they faced the NFC in the Super Bowl and just got mashed. So it's a good sign for the Big 12 that they are upgrading at the line of scrimmage, especially on defense, because they want to be more than just a regional conference. And to do that, you have to win against those other teams that are built in a physical way.
Trevor Maddich, ESPN College Football Analyst. We appreciate your time and enjoy the games this weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There we go. Now, we talked a little bit about some of these job openings, but I think there's a good chance come Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, the Florida job, the LSU job, well, they might get filled. Who will get those jobs, and will they have success? Are those programs still what they once were? That's next here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Yes, that music gets you ready on a Friday afternoon. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests will appear on the Goodyear Hotline. It is 2:30 here on the East Coast. Got games kicking off across the country. Got Kansas State and Texas playing right now. Nebraska will take the field here in just a moment. They are taking the field as we speak. So a lot
of
games
going. For the entire ear of corn there, Iowa and Nebraska.
Yes, Iowa and Nebraska. Nebraska may be the most disappointing program in all the land, but they'll never be good again. That's something I'll go on record. Nebraska will never be good at college football again. Ever.
And you and I disagree most of the time we talk to each other for our entire lives. But I will say this. I tend to agree with you because what's the number one most important thing in college football? And you know this.
Recruiting.
Recruiting. And there are no players within a six-hour radius of Lincoln, Nebraska.
The two programs that will never matter again substantially in college football are Nebraska and Tennessee. They'll never matter again. Now, they might have a year or two that they're good, but they'll never matter nationally because of recruiting. But that's a conversation for a different
day.
Yes,
you and I have argued many times. Tennessee has one of the best recruiting
classes. I keep hearing Tennessee. You've had best recruiting classes for 15 years. You're never good. Tennessee.
The best recruiting base. They have a really good six-hour radius. There's no players in Nebraska. That's the problem.
And they still have lost 22 straight years. Now, 888-SAY-ESPN. Three jobs, though, where you can win and where you definitely can win a national championship are Florida, LSU, and USC, and all those jobs are open right now. I even think you could win one at Miami, which is open as well. So with those jobs open, the question is, where are they going to go? There's a lot of reports out of Florida that Billy Napier, the coach at Louisiana, is the favorite for that job. If you go to tigerdroppings.com, LSU fans all believe they're getting Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma. I don't think that's going to happen, but those are two coaches. Those are two coaches that are highly touted guys. Do you think they would be able to take those programs where they need to go?
Yes, I think they would be good fits at those jobs. Number one, that rumor was started on my show, Fringe Element Podcast, everywhere podcasts are found. Make sure you check that out, because that's where we started that rumor from a good, reliable source that Lincoln Riley was interested in the LSU job. I don't know if he's going to take it or not. Mario Cristobal at Oregon would also be a very highly sought after name at LSU. LSU and Florida, they fish in big ponds for these coaches. When you look at the other jobs around college football, TCU, Virginia Tech, even Texas Tech before it was filled, Washington, these are, Miami is sort of in between. They're really solid jobs, but you can be creative. You can hire sort of innovative, creative people, coordinators, G5 guys. At LSU and USC, you have to hire people that win national championships. And that's a different collection of individuals. So you've got to go big game hunting, and we know Scott Woodward, the athletic director at LSU, wants to go hire a big name. Is he going to be able to do it? That remains to be seen, because it was big name or bust for LSU, and if they don't get a big name, we're about to see what bust looks
like. I don't know if that's true, though, because if you go back and look at who LSU has hired, they didn't hire big names. I mean, they hired Nick Saban, but he wasn't Nick Saban yet. He became Nick Saban at LSU. They hired Les Miles, but he was not a big name yet. They hired Ed Orgeron. My goodness, he had been a flailing failure at all of his jobs. So I mean, you take those three guys, yet they all three won national championships. Now, of course, Saban ended up being maybe the best coach ever, but Les Miles and Ed Orgeron are not going to be in any Hall of Fame of coaching, yet they won a national championship there. So I actually would argue to LSU fans, your history suggests the job makes the coach, not the coach makes the job.
I think you're definitely correct about – I mean, Saban's interesting. But here's the thing. He was a successful sitting Power 5 coach. He was a successful sitting Power 5 coach at a big program like Michigan State. Les Miles was a successful sitting Power 5 coach at Oklahoma State, a good program. They were talking about going to the playoff potentially this year. Those are not the hot and up-and-coming, you know, coordinator or the G5 guy. Those were sitting successful Power 5 coaches.
Because they were the equivalent, to be quite frank with you, they were the equivalent of the names we're hearing for LSU right now. They were the equivalent of Matt Campbell at Iowa State. They were the equivalent of Mark Stoops at Kentucky. That's who they were the equivalent of. Now Saban became Saban, and Les Miles won a title, but when those guys were hired, they were kind of the same level as the guys they're looking at right now.
Right. What I'm saying is they're not going to go higher. Like, Dave Aranda would be in the same category, right? The head coach at Baylor is a sitting successful Power 5 coach. Mark Stoops at Kentucky is a sitting successful Power 5 coach. Matt Campbell, absolutely. Matt Campbell has zero chance to be the head coach at LSU. Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, zero chance to be the head coach at LSU. Billy Napier would be the perfect fit for LSU. He is at Louisiana in the state, an SEC recruiting savant who knows how to build a program. But LSU will not dip that far down the list, is what I'm trying to say. You can be creative at Virginia Tech. You can be creative at Washington when you hire somebody. You can be Texas Tech and you can go hire an assistant off of Baylor staff who used to be a high school coach in Texas because you're allowed the freedom to be creative. At LSU, you can't be creative. USC, you can't be creative. Florida, you don't get to be creative with the hire. You have to go get a guy.
Well, Florida's going to hire somebody
sort of
that's creative.
Established.
Florida's going to hire Billy Napier. That's who's going to be the coach there.
I think Florida's in a different situation because of what's going on in the state with Florida State and Miami and Georgia being as dominant as they are and not liking Dan Mullen. And I think Florida has a little bit different they sort of have to approach it a little bit differently. Miami is a very unique situation.
Well, Miami needs to hire Lane Kiffin. I mean, there is no more perfect job. First of all, I think of all the names I've heard floating for all of these jobs, if all you want to do is have the best coach, isn't Lane Kiffin the best coach out of all of them? I mean, if you had to sit there, let's say leave the personality aside, leave the boosters, leave all that aside. You're just sitting there looking and you're saying, I can have this guy, this guy, this guy, or this guy. Wouldn't you rather have, rather than Matt Campbell, Arenado, Billy Napier, whatever, wouldn't you rather have Lane Kiffin?
Oh, 100%.
Miami, to me, has to get Lane Kiffin because Florida and LSU won't.
No, exactly. That's exactly right. They are not going to go get Lane Kiffin because there's a lot, for a lot of reasons, but they're not going to go get him. Miami's a unique job. You can throw a rock and hit a starting football player, a D1 football player in every direction, but they do not have the same everything else, right? Like, they don't have the 85,000 seat on campus stadium that's going to, churn out just unbelievable atmospheres in an on-campus environment. Like, it's 45 minutes away and small private school and all this stuff. Like, Miami has some issues about commitment, not about players and recruiting. So if you can go get a guy who generates a lot of excitement and can recruit and can run a really fast, fun, up-tempo offense, that's your guy. Oh, by the way, have a little brash, bring back the you personality. That's Lane Kiffin. I totally agree. Lane Kiffin to Miami fits way better than Lane Kiffin anywhere else. There's no question about that.
As somebody who doesn't care about really any team that is not my Kentucky Wildcats, I want to see Lane Kiffin at Miami. College football is better if Miami is swaggy and if Miami is good. And Lane Kiffin at Miami, I cannot think of a better duo. Maybe Saban and Alabama in terms of personality and fit of the culture, but Lane Kiffin in Miami would be perfect. You want to go back to the days when they were showing up in combat fatigues, and you want to go back to the days where they were just absolutely walking around like they owned the earth? Stick Lane Kiffin there. And if I'm Miami, if they don't go after him, then they don't care about football because he is the guy who can get it done. You know he would succeed. You know he would be fun. The national media would line up to come be with him. Miami, I know you don't know me. I don't know you. I've only been there once and I got a bad sunburn. But I'm telling you, Miami, if you want to be good at football, get Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think there's like a Kirby Smart fits to Georgia because he played there and has the bangs and the frat boy vibes and like just defense, defense, defense. Like, it works. That's the exact same reason why Lane Kiffin would work at Miami. I completely agree. I don't think it works in Gainesville or in Baton Rouge or we know it doesn't work in USC. USC.
Yeah.
He got fired on the tarmac. So I think
that's
it works
exactly
in Miami.
Right.
I agree with you.
All right, well, there are a lot of games this weekend in the NFL that are really good. 9 games between teams with winning records. Which one do you care about the most? To put it another way, here's what I'm going to ask you folks, the listeners. If I made you this weekend bet your life on one game, the result of one game, which one are you picking? Which team are you the most confident in? 888-SAY-ESPN. You're going to tell me who it is and make the case for the game you feel the most confident about. And don't cheat and pick like whoever the Jaguars play. Pick somebody good. That's next here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
Este episodio es presentado por Hill's Pet Nutrition. Cada mascota en adopción merece una segunda oportunidad y tú lo haces posible cada día porque cuando le das Hill's a tu mascota, alimentas a una mascota en adopción, lo que las hace más sanas, felices y más aptas a ser adoptadas, cambiando sus vidas para siempre para que puedan cambiar la tuya. Más de 14 millones de mascotas en refugios alimentadas y adoptadas. Es gracias a la ciencia. Conoce más en hillspet.com/podcast.
Bart and Hahn.
It is the final segment of Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones and Braden Gall, we've been with you for 5 hours, and if you listen to all 5 hours, thank you, Mom. I really do appreciate it. You're very nice. Larry, thank you all for sticking with me this entire time. It is 888-SAY-ESPN. Now, here's the thing. I'm asking you, this week in the NFL, the high spread is 7 points. Every game is supposed to be close this weekend. Everyone. There are no routes. So my question is for you, if you had to bet your life on a game this weekend in the NFL, which one would you pick? 888-SAY-ESPN. Braden, which one would you pick?
You know, the biggest spread right now left on the board is New England laying 6.5 or 7 against Tennessee, but Tennessee's a first-place team in the AFC and has routinely played well in this situation. So I'm going to go off the board a little bit here. I'm going to go Philadelphia minus 3.5 on the road against the Giants. There's some
wow, so you feel that good that you put your life on Jalen Hurts.
Well, when you say it like that, it sounds ridiculous.
Well, I mean, that's what you said. I'm not the one that said it.
It is the second highest spread of the game, and they're on the of the weekend, and they're on the road, which means if this game is in Philly, it's a 6 or 7 point spread. Giants are coming off a short week. Philadelphia is surging right now, and they're running the football well. I just like the matchup for Philly because, to your point, there's not another game on here that I feel super comfortable with. I mean, maybe Baltimore. Laying 3.5.
That's the one.
Cleveland.
That's
the
one.
I'll take the Eagles.
Benjamin is in Charleston. Benjamin's answer is the same as mine. Benjamin, I've talked a lot, so let's hear you say it. What do you think is the game of your life?
Easy. It's Ravens over Browns Sunday Night Football because Lamar's coming off his illness week. He's at 120%, and the fact that we're playing the Browns twice in the next 3 weeks where the Browns get a bye week in between our games. So I see us taking this one and maybe splitting the matchup.
I agree totally with you. Can I ask you a question? Will you get somebody with Baltimore to give Lamar some vitamin C or something? It feels like he gets sick every couple weeks. Will you see if you can make that happen? Because I love the guy.
He's Superman. You know, only Patrick Mahomes and the common flu are his kryptonite. So,
thank you very much. Nikki is in Evansville. What's your game of your life?
I would say the Colts over the Bucks.
Oh, stop it.
As of yesterday, the Bucks were only favored by 3 in Indianapolis.
So you're putting Frank your entire – wait just a minute, number. Nikki. I hate to cut you off, but you're going to, on Thanksgiving weekend, put your entire life at stake with Tom Brady on the other side?
As an underdog.
I think they can do it. I told everybody the Colts were going to beat the Bills, and look what happened.
Well, you did tell everybody. I was driving down the street the other day. I saw this guy. He goes, guess what? Nikki says the Colts are going to beat the Bills. And I was like, really? Then once you did, you were right. So I appreciate it, Nikki. Thank you. Let's go to Sideline Mike is in Atlanta. What's your game of your life here?
Hey, man, believe it or not, I called it early in the year. The Jaguars will beat them sorry-ass Falcons. Book it.
But they don't play each other this weekend. They play the Texans.
Yes, they do. No, they're this week.
Yeah, oh, is that this week? Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was looking at the wrong thing. So you got the Jaguars. So you're putting your life on Urban Meyer.
Wow. Wow.
No, because I'm a jilted Falcons fan since 1968. Who's been outscored 68-3 the last 2 weeks. Let me ask you a question, Matt.
Yes.
The Miami job is not open. Why y'all, Manny Diaz haven't been fired yet? Why y'all keep trying to put Lane Kiffin in Miami? The job is not open.
He's going to be. Just don't worry. You get to me. You call me when the season's over, okay, Mike?
I will, Matt. I'm like, come on, man.
Let's go to Nick in Dallas. Nick's going to get my last one. What is it, Nick?
I got the Chargers beating the Broncos 2.5 points.
I like the Chargers in that game. I don't know. They're so inconsistent, Braden. Like, every time you think they're going to give it to you, they pull the rug out from under you.
Justin Herbert has been playing pretty well lately, though, and the Denver Broncos have not been playing well. So I could see with the Chargers. They're a 2.5-point favorite on the road. I like the Chargers to win, but if you're saying I got to put everything that I own on this whole deal, I'm going either Ravens or Eagles. Those would be the two I would go with to win outright.
Braden Gall, I've had a blast with you. Thank you very much for spending these 5 hours with me. I am Matt Jones. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. Middlesbrough Yellow Jackets over Lexington Christian Academy is my lock of the weekend. I hope it is yours too. Bart and Hahn will be back on Monday to take you through. This has been Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Have a great football weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.